Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Brand Journalist. Today, we're talking TikTok. Finally, on the show, we're going to talk TikTok. And my guest today is Mayon Gordon. She's a professional marketer, copywriter, glassblower. Yes, I said glassblower, and TikTok coach. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
So I want to get into sort of your background, but first I just got to tell everybody, you have currently, as of this recording, 1.7 million followers on TikTok.
On my main account, yes. I actually have two accounts. I have another account that's very close to 600,000 followers as well.
Oh my gosh. So put that all together. And if my math doesn't fail me, that's 2.3 million or so followers. And just so you know, I have five followers, not 5
hey,
million.
We'll start somewhere.
I have five. Well, and that's exactly it. And I'm going to be looking to you as my TikTok coach in the future here. So before we get too down deep into TikTok, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Seattle, Washington, always did very well in school, was very school focused. So I went to Occidental College down in Los Angeles, California for college. Didn't really know about a lot of different options outside of college or just getting, you know, a minimum wage job right away. So chose college out of those kind of two options. Was doing very well in school, but didn't have any fun doing it. Wasn't really happy on any real level outside of I had this new freedom from, you know, not being around my parents. And so as I started picking up, little gigs and work shifts and things to make money, I fell into copywriting and really fell in love with that. Was very, very good at it right from the beginning. So I dropped out of college, started doing that full time. And then through the next 8 years, built a series of different businesses from a smoking accessory business to a sticker printing and t-shirt design business into the glass blowing business, which I've been doing for the past 5 years now. And then in terms of social media consulting and influencing, those have both come along with the success that I've had on TikTok and subsequently LinkedIn in the past 8 months.
So you're doing this, I think, in the right order from a lot of people I see out there in the so-called social media expert circuit, where you actually built some businesses and did some interesting things and used marketing and social media to grow those businesses. And now you're helping others with social media. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, there's nothing like that true experience and the things that you firsthand get to see and feel through interactions with your customers in different types of businesses, especially having the kind of very different businesses that I've built in context against each other has been very, very helpful for helping me understand in general what principles apply across all social media platforms.
You are what Gary Vaynerchuk describes as a real practitioner, not someone who just writes headlines.
Exactly.
I want to get back real quick to your career as a copywriter. This comes up so often on this podcast. People who are having success and helping a lot of other people and putting out great content on social media, so many of them have somewhere in their background a job as a copywriter. And that includes myself. You know, my first job out of school was writing radio commercials, right?
Oh, have fun.
And I think there's something about writing copy, whether it's print or broadcast, where you have a very small amount of space to tell a story. And I think there's something that really translates into social media 2020 with that ability to tell a story in a very short space.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, copywriting is very different than educational-based writing, you know, like essays or anything of that nature. And it's really a a different way to just communicate. So I think that, you know, essays in the way traditionally in school you write is very information based. It's not communication based. Mm-hmm. And social media and really business in general is a communication based thing. Like everything in business really, really revolves around communication. And in this, you know, new technology age, a major way that we all communicate with each other is through digital space.
So let's jump ahead to the new technology and the newest, most successful technology that people are using as of March of 2020 is TikTok. It's just ubiquitous right now. Maybe not so much in the usage, but in everyone talking about it. Every marketing conference I go to, somebody tells a joke with the punchline TikTok. And right. There's just this like nervous excitement about TikTok with a lot of marketers right now because they all know they should be doing something and 99% of them are doing nothing. So,
right.
And that's why I wanted to have you here today to really help kind of push our marketing friends into the right direction. Let's start with a description of TikTok. I'm sure a lot of people have looked at it, they've read about it, but how would you describe really what it is and maybe who's on it right now?
Yeah, so I'd say the best way to describe it as it exists right now, and I do think that it will, you know, morph and change somewhat in the future, but it's really a video streaming app. So it's like YouTube, but it's full-length videos or full screen videos. So it takes up the entire, you know, vertical space of your phone. And then also they're very, very short. So a YouTube video might be 20 minutes or 5 minutes or 60 minutes. A TikTok video tends to be 10 to 15 seconds. And it can go up to a minute, but you'll rarely, rarely, rarely ever see a minute long video.
The brands that are on right now doing stuff, what are they doing well? And then we'll talk about what they're not doing so well. So let's start with what they're doing well as far as putting videos out and are they right now just trying to get attention or sort of what's their objective currently?
Yeah, so I think every brand is really approaching it differently as they're trying to really figure out what TikTok is and how they can incorporate it into their strategy that already exists. With brands that I've seen doing it well, for example, Gushers, what I really like about what they're doing is they're showing how people use the product. They're not just showing the product off or posting a commercial, essentially, that they've done on another platform onto TikTok, but they're really creating that storyline that showcases customer usage of their product within that short time frame.
You know, it's not unlike Facebook, let's say 12, 13 years ago, where when brands were first getting involved, the ones that succeeded right out of the gate were the ones that weren't just taking, you know, an ad or something from another traditional platform and posting it on this new thing, but they were actually trying to engage and tell some stories. So I think I see a pattern here developing.
Absolutely.
Right? let's talk about some other brands that are doing some interesting things. You had a case study that I read recently and you had some restaurants and some other types of brands in there as well.
Yeah, so there's, and I'm going to fail to remember all the exact usernames, but there's one bakery that is doing a phenomenal job on there. They've got right around, I think, five or so million followers, and they're really just showing the most visual part of their process, which is, I think, something that a lot of businesses can think about strategy-wise for TikTok, is there even any 10-second part of my entire business's process that is visually engaging? And so for the bakery, that's a lot of frostings. So, you know, I'm applying the frosting to different like cookies and cupcakes and things that you apply frosting to. And it's just visually very, colorful because there's different colors of frosting, but then also the movement and the way that frosting comes out of, you know, a pipette is visually pleasing. So I think that, you know, a lot of businesses that are doing a good job are really tapping into that visual aspect that makes TikTok so powerful.
So it is kind of like a traditional media where the goal is always to find a good picture, you know, for a magazine or a newspaper or even a website. You had to find something visually appealing and attention getting. And now we're taking that to long form or even short form video, something that's going to grab somebody's attention in like the first second that they see it.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the easiest and most straightforward strategy. But because TikTok is full screen and because the videos are so short, the way that our brain is engaging with them makes it so that there are other elements that can grab attention. So if, for example, someone is in the video doing something with their body or in a place or scenario that I wouldn't normally recognize, that will grab my attention very heavily. Mm. So there's really a lot of elements, or like there could be a sound or a music element, for example, that makes a completely normal scenario seem very interesting all of a sudden. So I think that it's a very, very dynamic platform that allows a lot more creativity and complexity than advertising on other platforms. And that's why people are having such a hard time with it, is because it's much more complex than kind of the simple form of here's a picture, write a description for it, form of advertising.
Have you seen brands go the complete opposite direction and just start posting what looks like an ad or something with a bunch of text or something that is just not going to be appealing to viewers?
Yeah, I have seen, I can't remember which fashion brand, they tried to post a couple videos of like, they must have been fashion commercials. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get, you know, hardly any engagement, and they just really didn't fit with the entertainment style that people are looking to consume on the platform. But I've also seen like pretty blatant ads that have been done very well. So I think there's a lot of talk right now about how people don't like advertisements. Yeah. And I highly disagree with that. I think people love advertisements when it's the advertisement that they want to see, or when it's done in a surprising or clever way. Like, I think we've all experienced seeing an advertisement for the first time and it being funny and us going, man, I really like that ad and I really kind of like that company. And the beauty of TikTok that beats out traditional TV advertising is TV advertising's ploy was to show you the same ad again and again and again, right, and again, right, even frequency, within the same TV show. Mm-hmm. The way that TikTok works inherently is it will not show you the same videos twice, almost ever. Now, it might show you the same video twice, very rarely within like the same day or 2 week period, or, you know, very rarely again within a year-long period, but you almost never see the same content. In fact, that's part of the beauty of it, is when a video goes away or disappears, if you don't remember the creator's name, you'll never be able to find it again. Yeah. Because it's just scrolling on your For You page. So this incentivizes the users to start, it starts training all of us to start paying more attention to the username and start remembering and memorizing usernames faster. And I imagine that this is a process that might take a year or several years, but I think that, you know, in a year or two from now, that people will inherently be able to memorize and remember people's usernames, because TikTok is forcing us to kind of do so and incentivizing us and rewarding us by showing us the content that we wanted to see.
That's so completely different from television, because the biggest problem with television advertising over the past 70 years has been, people like an ad. It's a memorable ad, something funny in it, or you know, maybe there is something touching or very memorable, but they can't remember the brand. And,
right.
and all it says is, this was just an ad created by some agency. It could have been for any brand. We didn't even incorporate anything about the brand or even the name in, so it's memorable. You know, so to me, that's a failure, because no one is ever going to go to that brand to buy something or even engage with them further. So I love this idea of retraining viewers to look for the brand or the name or the creator right away. That's actually quite fascinating. And I would also say that means your TikTok name needs to be memorable and make a great first impression, right?
Yeah, you know, I think in general it helps any type of business or any, you know, brand to have easy to remember sounding names. I honestly don't think spelling's important because people from all over the world, like there's going to be huge misspellings no matter what you think a good or easy spelling is. And the world's become much more global now that I think that, you know, as long as it sounds, it's like people can pronounce it kind of globally or it's something easy to say in conversation that people are going to be talking about it more than if they have a hard time to remember it.
So how do we track success if we're not, you know, tracking number of people who click through to a link on a website, which that's all we've been doing for the past 10 years, right? So how do we track success with brands having a great campaign or even just a great piece of content on TikTok right now?
Yeah, so there's still a lot of different ways to track, even outside of the standard views or hearts. And one thing I do really like that TikTok's introduced, I don't know that any other, YouTube might do this, I'm not on YouTube very much, but they let you see what the average watch time of every individual video is. And I think that that adds a new component that people hadn't necessarily thought about before is, not only how long are people watching my video, but at what point in my video are people starting to leave? Because if you can kind of focus and fix that point where you get boring or where you're just kind of losing the emotional connection with your audience, that that allows you to take your content really to another level. I think that, you know, where you can measure success depends on your goals inherently. So if your goals are to increase awareness, then you can measure success a lot of times on TikTok through user-generated content. So are people posting a video that has your hashtag? Are people posting a video that talks about your brand or your business or uses your brand's or your business's product? Are other people creating hashtags on their own about your brand? I think that's a really important one that brands aren't necessarily considering or focusing on, but is actually a very, very great way to measure overall brand reputation. Is are people on their own so incentivized and loving your product or service that they're going to create a hashtag for it because they want other people to know about it and they want to kind of be the leader of that hashtag or want to be a member of that hashtag community, let's say.
Oh, I love that because your brand isn't what you say you are. Your brand is what your customers say you are. So that's a great one. Is there a particular length that you go for best practice wise that it should be, you know, a little bit longer than X, but not quite as long as Y? Or does it kind of vary depending upon what someone's objectives are?
Yeah, so I would say there is a general rule of thumb, but also to preface that, I would say that every single account or every single brand or every single personality, let's say, is going to have a sweet spot of time in general. So that might be for some businesses, 4 to 6 seconds. For some businesses, that sweet spot might be longer. It might be like 20 seconds long. But in general, I think most people starting out and building up and from just what you'll see if you scroll through the For You page, which is the algorithm feed on the app, is that they're about 10 to 15 seconds. Again, some will be shorter, some will be a little longer, but most of them and what mostly does well is that 10 to 15 second period.
Got it. Let's talk about the types of advertising that people are doing. Sometimes you'll see an ad when you first open the app. Sometimes you see an ad that shows up somewhere in the For You algorithm, which I assume no one's cracked the code on that yet. And then sometimes it's just general influencers who are saying something or using your product or something like that. So what do you tend to do the most of advertising type wise, and what else do you see working out there right now?
Yeah, so to kind of explain to users a bit right now, there's paid advertising directly through TikTok's platform where you have to first apply to be an advertiser on their platform. And then once you get accepted, you have access to a dashboard with, you know, much, much more enhanced analytics and targeting and all sorts of features. That's where the ads that when you first open up the ad before or the app before you access even the home screen, sometimes there will be an ad right there that plays. That's one of those ad products. They have several different, it's like 4 to 6 different ad products right now. That's one of them. Another one's the in-feed advertisement, which is what you're talking about when you're scrolling through and it just organically pops up, but is still very clearly an advertisement. And then there's a whole different segment of advertising on TikTok, which would fall under influencer marketing. So that's not through TikTok. It's, you know, connecting. Sometimes they have agents. Sometimes it's directly with the influencer themselves. Like in my case, someone would just contact me through email. And that's where, you know, you have an agreement, a contract. The influencer is providing the creative and the video, posting it to their account. Sometimes they're sending the video to the brand for them to post on their account as well. You know, there's all sorts of different structures around that. Yeah. So those are the two main branches.
Do you see influencers being more successful for a brand if they're out there doing it on their own on behalf of the brand, or if they're producing a video, handing it over to the brand and the brand is publishing it?
So I think that the influencers are always going to get more reach if you have the exact same video because they have a larger following than the brand does typically. Right. Now, obviously, over time, that's going to change as brands grow, you know, much bigger. But right now, the influencers tend to have, that brands are working with, tend to have, you know, between like 1 million and let's say 30 million followers on TikTok. So they're going to get a lot more views and a lot more engagement, especially from their followers, than a brand that doesn't necessarily have that connection with the following yet and is just a much smaller account. But in terms of the creator being successful, I think that that always just depends on the brand and is it a good match for that creator.
Got it. So this all feels a little overwhelming to a lot of marketers, including myself. I'm not going to lie. So where the heck do we start if we were going to sign up today to get on TikTok and start doing something to help grow our brand? What's the first thing you're telling marketers to do?
Yeah, the first thing I would do is spend, I kind of have like this three-step strategy, and step one is do research. It's going to continue to feel very confusing until you start really learning about it in an analytical type of way. So don't just go in and look for a guide. Really trust your own ability to analyze, especially if you're already a marketer, trust your own analytical skills that you're smart about how digital space works, about how customers think, and start watching videos and writing down observations, just things that your brain is telling you as you're watching these videos in you know, objective manner, not a entertainment-based manner. After that, you know, really start brainstorming in different categories. And you can come up with your own categories, but the categories I suggest would be around your products and your process. Like, write down all the products and all the parts of your business that you could capture in a visual sense. Also brainstorm kind of your brand's identity image. And the way I do this is around adjectives, just writing down a list of all the adjectives that I would associate with my brand, from, you know, funny to clever to, you know, environmentally conscious, whatever those adjectives are. And then also brainstorming different structures around videos. So, you know, a really short video with a, you know, surprise ending, or a video that has a very slow build up, and then at the end, three quick cuts into, you know, music that's very intense. Like, just coming up with different, I guess they'd be like storyline structures really, but in a video format, trying to think about what does storyline break down to in a 10 or a 15 second video. And then you can, once you have all these elements, start to combine them to really quickly and easily come up with great content ideas that you can, you know, post and then analyze and adapt.
Excellent. So are you recommending get going with some videos, get your brand out there before you start spending money on direct advertising, or should we do that at the same time?
That's a great question. I think any brand that has someone internally working for them who is already spending time on social media, that yes, they should allocate, you know, let's say 10% of that person's time to, or, you know, hire an additional person that's only working, you know, an hour a day or an hour a week even, to start on TikTok. That way you can start getting data on that platform, because anything you hypothesize and strategize around before you've posted any videos to get any type of actual experimental data on is really just a crapshoot and a bet compared to making a very educated guess.
Got it. And I'd say lastly, there's no time like the present to get started and dive in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Especially because it is such a opportunity right now where you don't know, you could possibly post a video that goes viral and boom, you're already there. Yeah. Without any of the hard work or struggle. So yeah, it could happen.
It could. And also right now we're recording this, as I mentioned, in March of 2020, where most of the world is holed up inside right now. And people are spending a lot more time on their phones than they were even 2 weeks ago. So I think there's a lot of eyeballs out there right now. So, you know, I really enjoyed your case studies that you published a couple of weeks ago. I found them on LinkedIn. I know you're active there as well. So I want to encourage everybody to go find that. And also you've got some online courses on TikTok that you're working on as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got one course that I'm working on. We're still getting kind of the final technical details finished. But then I have kind of my other main focus in terms of providing value to people and helping people really on a mass scale, but still in a very kind of one-on-one way, is through my membership website. So I'm posting at least one new piece of content that relates to TikTok on that site every day. It's got a video tip series, and kind of as I'm thinking of resources, that's where I'm putting them.
Okay. Where can we find that online?
Yeah. So it's my first name, which is MAAYAN.pubninja. That's PUBNINJA.com. And I believe if you Google my name, that it should pop up as well. If you Google Mayong Gordon Media, that should pop up.
Excellent. Thank you for that. We'll be back for some more contact information with questions in just a moment. But first, this message. We talk a lot on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation. And there's no one who does that better than brand journalists. I've known Thomas Scott and his crew for over a decade. In fact, I think Thomas is one of my only 5 followers on TikTok. And they are the most experienced and successful franchise development marketing firms in the industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and helped Fran Dev Pros recruit over 10,000 new franchise owners. And they do it with my favorite method, great storytelling on websites and targeted digital marketing. So if you need any help growing a new brand, or you want to breathe some life into a legacy brand, or you just want to rise above the noise, talk to brand journalists. They'll give you a free audit of your website and of your Fran Dev marketing. Check them out now at brandjournalists.com. Mayong Gordon, thank you so much for joining me today. I've probably learned more in the past 25 minutes than I have doing this podcast in the past 6 months. So I appreciate
Thank you
guiding me through the TikTok era. If our listeners have more questions for you, where's a great place for them to connect?
Yeah, probably the best place right now is through LinkedIn. Again, my name is Mayong Gordon. Last name is Gordon. Another place that is maybe a little bit easier to remember is through Instagram. My Instagram account name is Monkey Boy Art.
Monkey Boy Art.
Yep.
Gotta love that. And we'll have links to all of those places here on socialgeekradio.com.
Wonderful. As well.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you on TikTok very soon.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises.